Welcome to the Productive Cute Podcast. This show is all about empowering you with biblical principles and practical resources to help you overcome being unproductive so you can produce in the area of your passion. Now your host, Quamon Fowler.
Yo, 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 what's going on? This is Quamon Fowler coming to you, and it's time for another episode. Yes, sir, we're going to talk about focus, we're going to talk about discipline, and we're going to talk about consistency, all right? Now, so before we get started, I'd like to welcome everybody to checking out my podcast. You know, I always like to share inspirational messages as they bubble up in my spirit. And this was one of those times, and I like to give some updates of what's going on right now at this particular time. You know, as I'm working on new music that I will be releasing here pretty soon. And what I've been doing, I've been studying just how to launch and promote, do a campaign and everything for releasing singles. Now, I've done this in the past and I've had success, you know, certain levels of success. But the thing about releasing a single, you really got to plan out everything, like pre-launch, the launch, post-launch. And so that's kind of where I've been, you know, in terms of research and trying to get, you know, a strong grasp around how I'm going to do it this time. Because, you know, in the music business, trying to do this stuff, you know, it's like trying to hit a moving target. And so you got to focus, you got to be disciplined, you know, and you got to be consistent. And so, especially right now, because there's so many distractions, it's a lot going on, it's a lot of shiny objects, it's a lot of things that we see on social media, we get inspired by social media, and it's a community. So I appreciate that aspect of social media. It's pretty fun, you know, to see what's going on with other productions and, you know, seeing what others are doing in the space. Usually like-minded people flock together. So, you know, being a musician, going on Instagram and you know, Facebook and YouTube, I usually see a lot of, you know, shorts and stories and reels of musicians playing or motivational leaders, people who are in finance and business, entrepreneurs that are sharing and doing things, being innovative. And so, see, the thing about all of those things, in the midst of all of that going on, everybody wanting to hang out on social media, you have to be focused, all right? So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is to give some perspective to when I started, you know, and when we start, well, right now at 40, at 42, I was born in 80. So when I came up, there was no internet yet. There was, you know, no cell phones. So a lot of what we did in terms of being a kid, we went outside and played, we went out and, you know, was traveling around the neighborhood, you know, going around the corner, and we had to play outside. And when the stoplight, when the light post at the corner of the street turned on, that's when we were supposed to be in the house. You know, that was a daily routine. When I started playing music, then I started practicing a lot. And I'll practice in the house, and I have a tape recorder, recording stuff, and video camera. When my dad got, I was always videoing productions and stuff like that. So that was my thing, you know what I'm saying? I was focused on production, you know, as a kid. And so now I was always fascinated with technology too, because when my mom, she had a computer at the house, an Apple computer. She was a science teacher. And so when the internet came out, dial up, American Online, AOL, back in, 95, I got into that, and I got on there, was in chat rooms, and just fascinated by that technology to be able to talk with somebody across the world right through the computer. And then I started looking up stuff, finding out about different programs for jazz, Betty Carter Jazz Ahead program, and just doing research about the Monk competition, discovering things that I would have not been able to find out about if I hadn't used the internet to search for it, you know. And so we were able to connect with opportunities around that was going on around the world, really, but nationwide through the internet. And so I took what I learned and what I saw and found through the internet and through videos that I would get, PBS specials that would show jazz and stuff like that. And I was inspired and intrigued to the point where I was like, you know, I want to do that. I want to learn how to play and be better so I can perform on stage and travel and play in a band and just create my own music and just produce and release my own music. This was my focus as a kid. And so that's what I did. That's what I did for a long while, all through high school. I was practicing, and you know, when I got out and went to college, I was practicing and producing, playing gigs and traveling. I was doing all the things that I wanted to do, you know. But you all know, like 2000, well, the 90s, then 2000, and then the technology started changing, and I was inspired, you know, before to put out a CD, and then they start changing things, and Napster changed the game, and then that affected the whole industry, music business, and then the dot-com boom, you know, with what happened with eBay and, you know, these PayPal and stuff like that. So people start flocking to the internet to but to sell products, e-commerce and all of that came into play. And so people were building websites, selling their CDs online. But then Steve Jobs affected the market and was having it to where people could just purchase the music right from their computer. And then later you have the phones, the devices, the mobile devices, cell phones, see? So all of these new technologies affected economy, affected people's habits, how they consume, you know, entertainment, and how they socialize, and all of this stuff. And so, y'all remember when MySpace hit, and this was like, I think, I was in college, so probably around 2004, 2005, 2006, somewhere around in there, I think MySpace came about. Like YouTube hit in 2006. And so MySpace and YouTube were new. So these ideas of people broadcasting from their own devices, computers, you know, and sharing music on a profile, all of this was new stuff that was developing around that time. And so in the midst of all of these new things coming out, we're trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate these new mediums to connect with people, but at the same time keep doing what we're doing. And so that's why I said the music business and doing what we're doing is like trying to hit a moving target, because people are being innovative. You got these big tech companies that are creating these new opportunities, or these new technologies, especially today with AI. And so it's changing the game where people are trying to scramble and figure out, man, how am I going to keep my footing? How am I going to continue to do what I do and be profitable? How am I going to be able to be competitive? Because as you look and see what's going on and research, you'll see these big tech companies are running the show, and they're leading the way with these breaking these breaking new releases of AI and all of these things. So with all of that said, you know, I'm learning how to even release music again. It's like you have to start over. It's like you can't have this attitude that I know what I'm doing. It's like you always have to be a student in this game, you know? And so I've done things and had successes in the past, but what you face is really reinventing yourself or connecting, the need to connect with a new audience. And so now I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at Instagram. Of course, you got the TikTok generation. And so I have a profile on TikTok, but I don't really use it. I'm looking at Fanbase, the Isaac Hayes III created an opportunity, a platform that's like cross between Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, because we can monetize our content immediately. People can like it and give it and show love, and then that actually will give you, you know, some money when people like your post. So people are entrepreneurs, or these big tech entrepreneurs are learning from what other companies are doing, and they're implementing these things into their platform. And like, you know, you got Google that is influencing, you know, that was running the show for a long time on search. And of course they own YouTube. And so now Google ads and running YouTube ads is a big thing. Of course, Facebook is the social platform with where everybody hangs out to connect with their friends, and they own Instagram. And then, you know, ads is really a big deal there. So it's a lot of money. I've learned that advertising industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And so, I mean, a lot of times, even for me going on my Instagram feed, I see a lot of good ads that's relevant to what I'm interested in. Because the thing about now, it's like you need to have a social media manager, you know what I'm saying? And so, but I'm saying all of those things, all these different things, just to give you some context of what I'm thinking about and the type of information that I'm taking in. And at the same time, we have to keep the main thing, and continue to produce. So going back, in spite of all of the changes and what's all of the new stuff and shiny objects that I might see today, I'm still inspired to create music, to connect with people, to touch the heart and soul of people, and create some good, clean music, uplifting music to bless, you know, people's lives. And so with that, you have to make sure that you're consistent following your passion, which you was originally inspired and really, you know, assigned to do. And so I was actually looking at another friend who had made a post, and he said that he was in the studio recording his new record, and he said, you know, you got to get out of your own head. And I was just thinking about that. And that's true, because sometimes you can be stunned by everything that's going on in the world around you. And you seeing all of this stuff happen, and then it's like, man, it can make you feel like you don't know what's going on anymore. And but at the same time, you do. You just have to be consistent and stay focused and keep the discipline to keep doing what you your process and do what you set out to do. And so I'm always encouraged by the Lord. And you know, it's a scripture that I always like to say, where it talks about he that begin a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ. And so when you think about it, you start with the end in mind. You know what I'm saying? And you end, you should want to end up in the place that you saw from once you started. You know, that's a deep and powerful thing. So ultimately, we want to go to heaven. You know, as believers, we believe that if we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, we trust Him and we follow Him in His ways, then when we are finished here on this earth, we are awarded heaven, you know, because we were faithful over what He entrusted us with, our lives. Our lives is a gift. What we do with it is a gift back to Him. You know what I'm saying? And so when you have that perspective, then it keeps you moving forward and not getting lost in the sauce or missing, like they say, missing the forest for the trees. You know what I'm saying? You looking and focusing on these things in the midst of what you're going through, and you're not keeping it moving. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of stuff. I mean, the word in terms of prophecy and revelation that you get, and you see all the craziness that's going on in the world, you see it from a biblical perspective. You're just like, wow, this thing is playing out. I see how people will be deceived or deceived. And a lot of it is due to the convenience of these technologies and how these algorithms and everything, these devices, has made it that much more easier for us to, you know, follow the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy to get into sin. It's so easy. You know what I'm saying? And so it requires discipline. Like, it's not natural to go against the flesh. You know, it's not natural to have a feeling and not act upon it, or to deny your flesh. That's not natural. But at the same time, when you focus on the end, or you focus on what God said and what He gave you, the vision that He's given you, then you have something inside of you that is like a compass. It's like, you, no matter what, how you get thrown off, it's like you look at that compass, it's going to show you the direction that you're headed in and the direction that you're supposed to be going. Or a map, you know what I'm saying? That navigation, if you get off and take a wrong turn, it'll let you know, okay, this is what you need to do from here. You know what I'm saying? But you have to have a foundation in the word first. And that's what I'm seeing from how I was raised, how I came up. We, you know, my mom and dad were always, my dad especially, was always quoting scriptures. And he could recite passages of scriptures. He would memorize. And so I, you know, as a kid, you know, you don't want to hear that. You want to do what you want to do. And you feel something inside of you just bucking. That's how you know it's the flesh warring against the spirit. And so my mom, to her vantage point, you know, the Bible for Black people, especially coming up in the 50s and 60s, the church and the word of God was, it was reverence for God and the things. It was, you know, the church, it was a refuge. It was a place where we were able to make it over, especially going through the issues and things that they were dealing with civil rights and, you know, post-slavery, all of the residue that was left over. The church is what helped us as a people to make it over. And so what they prayed for, our freedoms and a lot of the luxuries that we have today that we take for granted, and even new generations now are totally forgetting God, and they don't have a connection, or they refuse to go back to their roots and get what their ancestors or forefathers had and learn from the vine, or abide in the vine, so that they can have more depth and understanding. But now, like I heard someone say, my uncle, he was talking about a message, and he's like, how God loves to remember. But one of the things he was saying in the beginning of his message, he talked about how you have a lot of people or young people who are confidently incompetent. Ain't that crazy? People can YouTube something and Google something and get it real quick, and they remember that. And then as soon as a conversation pops up, they want to share what they done Googled. Or they'll just straight up look it up right then. If you're talking about something, they'll just, hey Siri, or Google it and fact check and try to challenge you on something. But they don't have no real experience with the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? We used to go to the library and read and check out books and sit there and search. We had to search for stuff. And so there's something about that process that engages the human being, you know what I'm saying, fully. But when you're so dependent upon your device, then it has, you're eliminating a connection and a process that you would go through as a human being to absorb the search and all the things you get from having to search and look for stuff. And it's the same thing with music. I remember when I would transcribe back in the day, we would have CD player or tape player, and we just have to play it, wind it back, play it, wind it, you know what I'm saying? And we just learned it like that. But just going through that process was good, because it was good for your brain. It was good for your mind, you know, having to spend those long hours listening to something over and over and over and over. And so as technology improved, you know, they have things like, I like to use now AnyTune. You can put stuff in and you can slow it down. But before, I didn't have anything to slow it down. I would just have to listen to it and sing it and capture it in my mind. And then I have to find it on the horn. And so that's what I did. But going through that process was really good, because, you know, in my sound on saxophone, I have that experience and wisdom. See, that's the deal. Like, your experience, the older you get, having gone through all of those, the old-fashioned way of going through things, and, you know, your experience and how you came up that was void of certain technologies, that shaped us a certain way. You know, that gave us a certain foundation. All of the bells and whistles and all of the fast technology and ChatGPT, Midjourney, and all these new technologies where we can get stuff done really fast, that's not really causing us to have to think much. You know, all that is now. You know, and it's kind of scary for the young folk, because they're totally going to be dependent on the AI, and they don't have a foundation. Like, their foundation is the AI. So that's the thing that's scary, you know, whereas all of us who have our own mind and have our own character and wisdom and experience in gaining knowledge and through our own natural experiences, all of that is going to be looked upon as being old-fashioned and slow. But the thing about it, the main thing is still the main thing. God is still God. His word is still true, you know, and his way that he likes to do things is always going to shine, outshine anything else. You know what I'm saying? Because you can tell and you can feel it. Like, soul is soul. I don't care where you are and what you're doing, how much money you got, how much money you don't got, you don't have. You know, anybody can tell you when it's the real deal, when they've heard the real deal, when they've experienced the real deal. It ain't about none of that stuff. It's about the truth. The truth will speak and it will convict. It will convict. And you can only get the truth by having a relationship with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? By studying the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, by fellowshipping with other like-minded believers. Nothing is going to ever be able to replace that. And so if you can get that, and when you go and produce, or you go and create or create your works, and it's laced with an organic experience, you know what I'm saying? Then that's going to speak through your artwork and whatever you do. If you're a musician or artist, or if you're, you know, a cook or whatever, it's like your culture, you know what I'm saying, is going to be the culture of your business, and whatever your niche is got to come from a community or something that's organic and from the heart. You know what I'm saying? It can't be so wrapped up in all of the distractions of the technology. I love technology. I enjoy it. It's fascinating because it helps me to better facilitate what I'm doing. I learn a lot from listening to podcasts and watching YouTube and researching and stuff like that. But as a teacher, it just helps me to better communicate the opportunities that are out there. And, you know, for young, you know, my audience is musicians a lot of times, especially music business and entrepreneurs and stuff like that. I'm always talking to them about how to better do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Because we focus on wanting to play or wanting to create music and everything. We learn how to play, and then we learn how to produce, or we learn how to record. And so but the thing about it, it's a business. So you have to learn how to market what you got to do, you know, what you want to release. You want to make money from it. So I've always enjoyed the process, and I enjoyed, figuring out how to function better as an entrepreneurial musician. You know what I'm saying? And so I embraced the technology, YouTube, MySpace, and everything when it came out in the beginning, because it was fascinating with me, and I wanted to share what I was doing with the world to broaden my reach and connect with people and teach people across the world through the use of the technology. And so I have my own approach and experience that is local, or you could say that's personal. But my testimony is for the world. My story is for the world. So you, if you're listening, well, you are listening. Your story is not private. Your experience is an experience that needs to be shared, because that's going to give somebody some hope. That's going to give somebody some encouragement. And so it's very important for you to focus. Remember, I said you start with the end in mind. What is your purpose? What is your calling? What is your gifting? Once you know those things, you will know your identity. And first and foremost, your identity needs to be established in Christ. So you know who you are and what you're called to be here on earth. And then when you're talking about your art form or whatever business or medium that you're going to use to connect with people, once it's you got the priority, you got your priorities right, then God's spirit can work through your business and your music and your art. And then people will feel that. It's just an outlet. It's another way of expression to connect with people, to help people to better function and go through their lives. That's what you're doing. We're in the area, especially as a musician, I'm in the area of helps, like the spiritual gifts, the spiritual gift of helps. And, you know, it's another gift, administration, that we have. I think as men, we all have that, or should learn and look into that more, you know, investigating administration. That's leadership. And I think a lot of times we don't embrace it. Like a lot of musicians, I would say this, they don't embrace that spirit of leadership, you know, because they're used to, when you're talking about getting signed to a record deal, a lot of times, you know, they're doing everything for you. All you have to do is play. They put up the money for you to record and all of that. They really take advantage of your talent because it's basically a loan. You're getting a loan that you got to pay off. If you don't sell no records and you want to record a new record, then, you know, and they let you do it, then that's a second loan. You know what I'm saying? You got to pay back all that money. And so that's why a lot of artists are having to, you know, travel and be on the road, because that's where the money is made. It's not made from the actual records that they put out. And then for centuries, you know, decades or whatever, the record labels own their intellectual property. You know what I'm saying? But if you are independent and you're a DIY, do-it-yourself musician, independent musician, we end up having to wear all those hats ourselves. We're playing the music, we're mixing, engineering, we're doing editing of audio and editing the video, we're doing marketing, we're doing social media, you know, we're promoting, we're negotiating, we're doing contracts, we're doing all of those things. And it's a requirement now because the game has changed. But you know, I've carved out some systems and some ways to better navigate, you know, all of those things, because, you know, you do those things because you have to initially, or you do it because you need to do it. You just have to do what you got to do what you got to do, right? But then you learn what it is that you enjoy and what the things that are not a good use for your time. And so you delegate those things to others. As you make money, you can pay for having assistance. You can pay for an agency to do your graphic design and your web development and all of that. And you can have more time to focus on the main thing, okay? So the thread through all of this that I'm telling you is stay focused and discipline yourself not to be tempted to wander off, and keep on practicing, keep on producing, keep on publishing, keep telling your story, keep shaping your story, and be consistent, all right? So I'm preaching to myself, you know, I'm preaching to myself. I have to be consistent with the podcast. I know I create these, and I'm always getting messages from people saying how much they were blessed by it. And so I have to make sure I apply these things just as I'm sharing it with you. So that's what I wanted to share on this particular podcast. And like I said, I'm working on the new singles to be finished. And we're going to, I don't know, I need to decide which one I'm going to release first. You know, I might ask you all, I might play a little bit, not in this podcast, but I'll put some stuff up on social media and decide which one I'm going to release first. But I'm going to try something different. I'm going to release a single, really push it, and do a campaign around that one. And then once I, that one gets enough push, then I'll move to another single, and eventually I'll put out a whole album. So we're just there right now. You know, we're in that place where, I'm going to try these singles, do these singles, y'all. Okay, that's it. I hope y'all enjoyed this podcast. If you do enjoy it, make sure you follow me here on Instagram, you're on YouTube, Jazz Webshed. Instagram is Quamon Fowler, and go to QuamonFowler.com. I'm working to update my website right now, a lot of stuff under construction behind the scenes, just to better facilitate the things that I do. All right, so much love to you, and we will see you on the next one.